Well, I'm excited for the opportunity this morning. I was kind of like, yeah, honey, go ahead and leave, because then I get to preach. Oh, you need to be far more excited about that. Honey, I know you are tired this morning. I know that you needed an extra, extra large coffee before you made it here, but you got to help me out this morning, okay? Are you excited to be here this morning? Thank you. Oh, so much better, so much better. See, you got to cheer louder for me than you would for him, because then I can just rub it in his face all day long. It just is so much better. I don't know which service he'll be watching, so I got to be careful, or I'm going to get a text. I don't know. Anyway, okay, what was I doing? I was about to give the message this morning, so we are excited. We have just been coming out of a phenomenal series. I tell you what, it has... God has done so many things through so many different series in the church, over the past years, but this one in particular, I feel like has been just really, really key for my life personally and for the church. And so we've been talking about agents of change, and today I have the privilege of concluding that series this morning. So we are going to wrap it up today. But before we do that, would you please welcome with me our Geneseo campus and everybody watching online. Welcome. We're excited to have you joining us. We are going to have a powerful day today. So would you please, as we get ready to get into our Bibles, would you please grab your Bibles and hold those up in the air with me this morning and repeat after me. This is my Bible. I believe what it says. I can have what it says I can have. And I can do what it says I can do. I choose to open up my heart and my mind to God's word today. Amen. 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 All right. Well, today's going to be a little bit different. Every week along this series so far, we've been talking about different agents of change. And so when I've been preparing and praying about this message, the Lord really gave it to me in three parts. It's not one specific agent of change in particular that we're going to be talking about, but we're going to be talking about change in general. And so as I jump into this, you'll see me go through three different portions in this message, but all three of them link together. And I think that if you buckle your seatbelt and hang on to the ride with me, now I've been told that I speak very quickly. I'm just Latin. I can't help it. It just comes out. So if you'll just keep up with me, I think you're going to be really blessed, because I really believe the Lord has a special word for you this morning. All right? All right. Well, the first part of the message this morning is I'm going to be talking about a very specific opportunity that you have. Now, we've talked throughout this series, we talked about multiple different agents of change that are available to us. Why? Because the Lord wants us to change, right? The Bible talks about us growing from going from glory to glory, that he's always doing a new work in us. He who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. Amen. There's always growth to happen. We're always supposed to change. And he doesn't want you to stay stuck in the same place. He doesn't want somebody who's bound to an addiction or bound to any one thing to have to stay stuck. He wants to bring change into our lives. He wants to see restoration. He wants to see you live to the fullest capacity that you were designed to live in. He wants to see you fulfill your purpose and destiny. But in order for us to do that, we have to change, and we have to be intentional about changing. And so all the different agents of change that we've spoken about are powerful agents of change, and they do work. They're amazing. They're powerful. There's nothing that can compete with the blood of Jesus. Amen. The very first agent of change we talked about. But it's interesting, because people talk about, you know, you think about change and you're like, okay, I'll get intentional about changing, but you always have an opportunity for change. There's one in particular opportunity that's facing everybody. You know, we have opportunities that face us every single day where we have, and when you have an opportunity, you're forced to make a choice, right? When opportunities come your way, you have to make a choice whether you're going to take the opportunity or you're going to run from it. Some are great opportunities to take. Others you need to turn around and run away from. Just on Friday, I was at the mall and I had an amazing opportunity come my way. I was in Macy's and I went to their shoe rack and it was like 60% off with another 40% off on top of that. And there was my size, the very last pair of shoes there, and I had to take the opportunity. It was too good of a deal to pass up. I couldn't resist. That was an opportunity that I needed to step into and take. Now, there were some other opportunities at the mall that it was a good thing that I turned around and ran from, because my husband, when he came back, I still want him to want to be married to me. At the end of the day, no, I'm just kidding. He would have given me grace. But it was a good thing that I turned around and ran away from it, because I didn't need all of those opportunities that are facing me at that moment. But there's an opportunity that's kind of always around us that a lot of times, though, we don't recognize as an opportunity. This opportunity is something that is can travel from different parts of our lives, but we just don't, our perspective about this unique opportunity is not an opportunity. A lot of times we look at it as something to be endured or dreaded or just simply to get through. But if we would just simply change our perspective on this specific opportunity that comes our way, I think that we would be surprised at the change that could occur in our lives. Are you ready to find out what the opportunity is? Have I whet your appetite yet? Have I gotten you excited? The unique opportunity that always comes our way is this. It's called pressure. How many of you have ever been under pressure in your life? In one form. And the rest of you who didn't raise your hand are all liars. We have all been under pressure in one form or fashion or another throughout our lives. There's pressure comes and it can travel from one part of our life to another. You might be facing financial pressure, having to make decisions. There's pressure. There's weighing down on you. You might be facing it and then you get that resolved and then you come over here and now there's some pressure in your marriage or there's pressure with your kids or another relationship and then you get that taken care of or maybe neither one of them are taken care of yet. And then there's pressure at work, on the job, whatever it is. There is always going to be pressure in our lives. But our perspective on pressure has been one of, oh no, I didn't need that. I didn't need that in my life. Really, Lord, again, how can I cope with this? This is hopeless. This is useful. This is not a good situation. And I happen to agree with you because that's how it looks in a lot of our lives. But if we would begin to change our perspective, pressure is defined as this. Pressure is the continuous physical force exerted on or against an object by something in contact with it. It's something that's constantly pushing. When you're under pressure, doesn't it feel like something's constantly pushing on you all the time? Yes? Yes. Okay. All right. It is also the use of persuasion, influence, or intimidation to make something, to make someone do something. There's always pressure coming our way. But you know what? It's unique because if we could just change our perspective, pressure comes from four different areas. There's four different places that pressure comes from in our life. And the first one is it comes from the devil. Don't we know that? There are attacks of the enemy that come out of left field a lot of times, and he just begins to attack. The Bible says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Why? Because he doesn't like you. He doesn't want you to fulfill your destiny. He wants to hurt you. He wants to steal from your life. He doesn't want you to live in the fullness of what God's provided. And so, yes, the devil does attack, and and when the attacks come, they do bring pressure. People say, well, how do I know if it's the devil? How do I know that it's not just something else? Any attack, any pressure that comes into your life that goes directly against what Jesus has already paid for on the cross is an attack of the enemy. Does that make sense? Therefore, if there is, Jesus has paid for healing, he's paid for restoration, he's paid for salvation, he's paid for your provision, he's paid for your deliverance. Anything that would attack or go against that is going to be an attack of the enemy in your life. And then when you realize that, then you know how to fight that. Amen? So there's pressure in our lives that definitely comes from the enemy. And then there's also pressure in our lives that come from just regular life situations and circumstances, right? We live in a fallen world and people are not perfect. I don't know if you didn't know that or not, but everybody in this world is not perfect. And I'm sure you've come in contact with somebody who's not perfect as well. Don't raise your hand. Don't point to your spouse. Just know that not everybody in life is perfect. And people will make decisions and choices that are going to bring pressure in your life. That's not necessarily an attack of the enemy. It's just them making decisions and choices that bring pressure into your life. You know, people can either be a blessing in your life or they can be an opportunity for you to grow, right? You can exercise your love walk and exercise walking in patience and making right decisions and right choices, but that's pressure. Pressure can come from just outside situations and circumstances. Pressure can also come from yourself. And expectations you put on yourself, and you walk under guilt and condemnation and shame a lot of times that have all been taken care of, you begin to put pressure on yourself and the way that you feel that you should be. And you just carry this, man, weight on your lives, and we can be our own worst enemy at times, putting pressure on ourselves. But you know, there's a fourth place that pressure comes from as well, and it comes from the Lord. Now, this isn't negative pressure, but this is pressure that comes when the Lord just simply asks you to do something. And you have a choice whether you're going to obey him or not. You find something in the Bible. He says, walk in love. He says, forgive everybody. And he's asking you to do something. And he tugs on your heart. And so now you have a choice. And how many of you have ever been in that place where the Lord, or he even touches your finances and asks you to give something that maybe you weren't intending on giving? How many of you have ever been in that place and the Lord said something to you and now all of a sudden there's this weight and it feels like pressure because now you have to make a choice and you're struggling in the midst of this decision and there's pressure. It's not bad pressure. It's the Lord's asked you to do something and you have to make a decision. But now you have an opportunity. See, every single one of these situations, every place, every way that pressure comes, if we can change our perspective to rather than looking at it from being something to be endured, but looking at it as an opportunity for change and to grow in our lives, I wonder what would happen. See, pressure is always going to come in our lives, but the result of what happens in that with that pressure in our lives is really up to us. Rather than something than seeing pressure as something to be dreaded, pressure is an opportunity. Now listen to this. Pressure, those choices, those decisions that you have to make, whenever you're under pressure, you have choices. You have decision because the Bible says that God would always provide a way out, right? He always gives you a way out. You always have a choice. You're never backed into a corner where you don't have a choice. You always have a choice of which way you're going to respond to whatever comes your way in your life. Pressure is always an opportunity for deliverance, for breakthrough, for miracles, for growth, for salvation in our lives. But how many of us know we don't often see it as that? And I'm the first to admit when pressure comes, I don't get up in the morning and say, sweet, I'm going to grow. Yes, this is an opportunity for my life. No, I'm like, seriously, you know, this is not an opportunity for growth. I don't sit in traffic where I'm not moving and I'm late to pick up my kids from school and go, yes, I am going to grow and I'm going to exercise patience in the midst of this. It's not my natural response. I'll sit there and I'm probably going to have to repent for the attitude that I have right then in that moment sitting in the car when I get home or maybe I'll just, never mind. And you can all relate, whether you want to agree with me at the moment, this moment or not, you can all relate with those places. We don't often look at it that way, but I feel like the Lord wants us this morning to begin to change our perspective. There's a couple scriptures that I want you to see. The first one is this, James 1, chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Thank you. I was waiting for it. All right. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And I put it on the screen because I love the amplified version of this. It says this. Now, this is just boggles my mind, and for a long time, I really hated this scripture, and I kind of still do sometimes, because it's not one that I enjoy to read, because it's very, it just messed with my head a lot, and I couldn't get it around it, but it's kind of interesting. Here we go, ready? Consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort, or fall into various temptations. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out endurance and steadfastness and patience. Now, hold on. Back the train up. I have to consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever I'm enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort, fall into various temptations. See, now, the reason I hated this a lot of times the way this scripture is taught is people are excited that negative things are happening. They're telling you that you need to be joyful when negative things happen in your life because of the negative things. You're not excited that negative things are happening. God doesn't get excited when attacks of the enemy come and they steal, kill, and destroy what he's already paid for. Right. That doesn't make sense. So for me to get excited that somebody's sick or to have a disease thinking, yes, I'm so excited about that, that's twisted. That's not even God's character. So then to sit there and look at that, wait a minute, what is it? Why can I get excited? I'm not getting excited about that. But here's the thing. If we skip down, actually, I'm going to jump around just a little bit, guys. So I'm going to go to Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Now, here's the thing. I can understand that no matter what attack of the enemy may come my way, no matter what's going on in my life, I can understand. This is what I can get excited about. Even if the devil seemingly wins a battle here, even if he steals, kills, and destroys something here, I can get excited because I have a promise from the Word of God that somehow, some way that I may not even fully understand, the Bible says that he's going to turn this around and work it out for my good, because the devil can't ever fully win. Right? He can't ever fully win in my life. That means I will win. It doesn't matter. I am going to win. Somehow, some way, this thing's going to turn around and make it for my good. And so if we jump back up to James chapter 1 and look at this scripture, this is one of the ways that God turns things around and turns it out for our good. It says, again, consider it wholly joyful, my brethren, whenever you're enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. Here we go. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith brings out endurance and steadfastness and patience. But let endurance and steadfastness and patience have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking in nothing. Essentially, you are growing up in Christ in the fullness of what he's provided for you and what he wants you to live in. So that means that no matter what the devil, see, if you can change your perspective, listen to this. If you can change your perspective of what's going on in your life, if you can look at it as an opportunity to grow and to be strengthened, then the devil loses every time. Every time an attack comes your way, every time something comes at you, then the devil loses when that happens. Isn't that loud? I'm sorry, that got very distracting for a second. But the devil loses. Amen? He can't win if you have your perspective. Now, if you don't change your perspective and you look at it as this overwhelming, horrible situation, and it's just this, you're like, God, I don't understand. And you just kind of, you begin to shrink back and pull back. Not only is the devil or any life situations and circumstances, not only is he stealing and killing from that area of your life, but you're also not moving forward. You're also not growing. You're also not getting stronger. Amen? All right, Romans 5 through 5 says this. Moreover, let us also be full of joy now. Let us exult and triumph in our troubles and rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that pressure and affliction and hardship produce patient and unswerving endurance. Hallelujah. And endurance, fortitude, develops maturity of character, approved faith, and tried integrity. And character of this sort produces the habit of joyful and confident hope of eternal salvation. Such hope never disappoints or deludes or shames us. For God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Amen? Changing our perspective. See, we've been trained to have a negative perspective on whatever pressure comes our way. Even when God tells us to do something, our perspective is, we begin to pull back, and it's not a fun one at the moment. But if you could look at it, when God puts his finger on something in your life because he wants you to do something, or he's asking you to step out in faith or something, rather than pulling back and feeling like this is a negative situation, God, how could you ask me to do this? Get excited, because he's needing you to grow, because he wants to advance you. He wants to push you forward. Amen? Amen. You know, it's interesting. I was preparing to speak at a conference a couple weeks ago, and I was going to be talking to ministry leaders, and so I was talking to them about being champions, and so I was doing a little bit of a study on what it takes to be a champion. And I came across Michael Phelps, the amazing swimming champion of all time. I think that it's very easy to put him in a championship category with everything that he's accomplished. His coach, Bob Bowman, had listed several different characteristics, I think about six, that he saw to be common among champions, and things that he was instilling into the athletes that he was coaching. And there were a lot of different ones, but there's one that stuck out to me, especially for today. And it's the perspective that champions have. And champions, in his words, were all champions. The perspective that they have is that champions welcome challenges as a means to learn and grow. So many people, a lot of times we'll see a challenge as something to shrink back from, something to be avoided, something that we don't want to step into. But in order to be a champion, which God's called us to be champions, right? We're the head and not the tail. We're above only and not beneath. He's made us victorious. We're more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We are champions. And we can welcome challenges and switch our perspective as a means to learn and grow and to get stronger. Amen? Amen. Pressure will always be there, but you have to understand that you have a decision to make in the pressure. And if you choose to go through pressure the right way, you will grow and become stronger, but the wrong way will begin to hurt you. See, it is about going through pressure and making the right choices because you're going to get stronger, but I don't think we realize that you're going to change no matter what happens when pressure comes. There is always change that accompanies pressure in our lives. So you're going to change one way or the other. You will either grow or you're going to get hurt. When we don't make the right decisions in the midst of it, because see, listen, when God tells us to forgive, right? There's pressure on us at that moment. We may not want to forgive. We may not want to step into that. But if we don't choose to follow what he says and respond to situations and circumstances his way, the adverse effects that come into our life are bitterness, hate, anger, resentment that only begin to poison us, poison our spirit, poison our soul. They begin to change our perspective and it begins to destroy us from the inside out. See, it's just like this gym up here. Okay, it's just like this gym, and in a second I have a video that I want you to see, but it's just like having this workout gym. Now, when you go work out at a gym and places that you work out at, because you know that I do that so often, I'm not advocating that. You need to be healthy. Okay, so when you go to a gym, anytime that you want to make any kind of change on your physical body, there's pressure involved, right? You have to put pressure on your muscles to strengthen them. Right? It doesn't matter if you're running, doesn't matter if you're swimming, doesn't matter if you're lifting weights, doesn't matter what kind of exercise you're going to get the results that you want, you have to exert pressure and force on your muscles to build them up and to strengthen them and to make them grow, to bring about the change that you want to see. Now, if you go to the gym and you begin to lift weights, like I said, you're going to see the change. But if you go to the gym and you begin to lift weights, but you do it incorrectly, you could get hurt. There's a proper way to exercise, and there's a way that's going to hurt you. Watch the video.
I love getting my pump on. But like anybody else, halfway through bro-ing down, I need to reload. So I grab myself some diet soda. Caffeine gives me the extra boost I need to get my workout on. After that, I love to chase it with some muscle milk. Oh, now on the legs. As most of you know, I like to work out by myself. Feel like it gives me the extra energy to shred mad hard. Now you guys watch while I break my personal best in my legs. Think I might have stood up too fast.
So you will never forget that illustration as long as you live. He did several things that were not appropriate, trainers are going to tell you is not the right way to do when you're going to go exercise, right? You're not supposed to drink caffeine, you're not supposed to drink a ton of milk, and you definitely shouldn't work out on your own. And then he ended up hurting his back. And so now he changed, but for the negative. It's a great illustration. I feel like the Lord showed it to me. Listen, whenever you exert pressure, there's change coming, but you have to do it the right way. You have to go through pressure God's way. You have to choose his response, his way, his ideas, because he wants you to change. He wants you to grow. He wants you to be strengthened. But if you don't do it the right way, there are negative consequences. And a lot of times we don't realize it, but when you choose to respond in fear, in negativity, in whatever, whatever it is that's opposite, whatever you're going through, if you don't choose to respond the right way, there are some negative consequences that happen in our lives. And so pressure is an opportunity for change. It can be an amazing opportunity, but it can be a negative opportunity. And so along with the opportunities for change, the second part of this message that we're jumping into now, and pressure can be an opportunity for change, it can be negative, but there's also enemies of change that exist. See, the devil doesn't want you to change. God wants you to change because he knows that it brings you increase. He knows that it brings you, listen, with godly change comes increase, blessing, freedom, influence, strength, growth, so much more. It brings intimacy with God, an evidence of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so enemies of change, the devil doesn't want us to change. We talked about that already in the beginning of this message. The devil does not want you to change. He doesn't want you to grow, and he doesn't want you to live in the fullness of your calling. So he does have enemies of change out there. So I'm going to talk about just a couple of these enemies of change. They're certainly not an exhaustive list. There are so many out there, but there are just a few that I felt like the Lord really wanted me to touch on today in this service. Now, before I mention what they are, I want you to hear this. The enemies of change attempt, now listen, you have to use your mind in this. The enemies of change attempt to distort and minimize the results of change. For example, they attempt to make one feel as though the sacrifice of change is significantly greater than the reward. They make you feel as though what you have to push through to get to the end result is so much greater than the end result that you can't see the end result anymore and you stop pushing through to change because this looks so much bigger. They distort. You see, what you have to push through to change is so minimal in comparison to where God's taking you, in comparison to the freedom on the other side, in comparison to the reward, in comparison to the fullness of your calling. That is huge. This little period of uncomfortableness, of an uncomfortable state of walking in faith, doing what God's asked you to do, pales in comparison to the fullness of your reward. But the enemy tries to distort our view of this. He tries to make what you have to push through so much greater than what the end result is. Because he doesn't want you to change. He does it in a few areas. So one of the enemies of change out there is fear. Fear, you're being afraid of something, maybe being afraid of change, going somewhere new. There's a lot of people that really just don't like change because it's uncomfortable. They don't know it. They can't be in control of it. You know, our whole Christian walk is a walk of faith. Amen. We're not in control of this whole thing. We're not driving the ship. We're not in charge of this whole thing. God's in control of our lives. And that messes with some of us control freaks who like to have it all in order. Fear will make you forget his faithfulness and promises and make you focus on what it tells you rather than what, you know, for example, fear makes you forget what God's faithfulness in the past. It makes you forget his promises. It makes you pull out of faith and trust. And it just makes these situations, when God tells you to step out of the boat, when he tells you to give, when he tells you to take a leap of faith, it makes all of the what ifs so much bigger than the character of your God and the faithfulness of your God. They just get exemplified, and fear begins to scream so loud. But you know, again, you are people of faith, and your God is faithful, and he is not going to let you down. He's never left you. He will never leave you. Whatever he says, he backs up in his word. The word of God is full of his faithfulness and promises, and he's not changing. And the enemy tries to just make that whole step of walk of faith seems all the what ifs that really aren't even what ifs. They're just him telling you what ifs. Because when God's told you something, there's no what ifs. Amen. Because you're in his hands. So really, it's a lie. The second enemy of change is apathy, or I like to call it a vision killer. See, apathy, laziness, it's just kind of this just que sera, sera. But in reality, when you get in that place, the real problem is that you don't have any vision. The Bible says, for my people perish because they don't have a vision, for lack of vision, right? If you can't see where you're going, why on earth would you push through to get there? If the devil can steal the vision, if he can steal that, and if he can distort it, if he can make that small, again, it's the whole thing. If he can make that so much small, why would I ever exert the effort in my life to get there? He begins to shrink the promises of intimacy with God, shrink the calling on your life. You have a purpose. You have a call in your life that's God-given. Don't allow the enemy to steal that. You know, there's times when we begin to forget that God's placed a call on our lives, and so then we begin to forget that there's any kind of vision out there to begin with, and if you don't see any vision, you're not going to push through and get there. If you don't have a vision on your life, could it be possibly that the enemy is trying to steal or kill your vision, and so then you're in this apathetic state? You're not supposed to be apathetic. If you're apathetic or lazy, there's something wrong. Something's trying to keep you from changing and pushing through to be all that God's called you to be. Because every single one of us, you cannot read the Word of God and not understand that you have a purpose, or think that you don't have a purpose or a plan or a vision for your life. You all do. Every single one of us do. So if you can't see it, maybe, quite possibly, there's an enemy of change in your life out there trying to keep you right where you are. This enemy attempts to make you feel overwhelmed, tired, and take all the motivation out of your life. Another enemy of change are just simple distractions in our lives. That we don't think this is a very big one because we're so busy. There's so many different things going on. But even in this one, our life becomes so full that we forget. You know, you get so distracted that you're not intentional about the change that God's put right in front of you. It may not be that you don't have vision. You might have a ton of vision, but just super distracted and super busy with all these other things that might even be good, but they're not just the exact one that God wants you working on. And the devil will even fill your life up with good things so you don't focus on the one thing that's going to bring you through to change. And he'll be fine with that, even if you're accomplishing some good, because you're not making hell regret you ever woke up that morning. Amen. Every day, because you're not pushing through to your ultimate call, the highest call in your life. Amen. Distractions might seem small, but ultimately they can have a great big hindrance in our lives to the change that God wants to bring. Number four is this, what I like to call identity theft or stolen identity. If you don't know who you truly are, you don't live in what is rightfully yours. And if you don't know who you are, then you don't fight for what is rightfully yours. If you don't know that you're a child of God, if you don't know that Jesus paid for your freedom from every single addiction, every addiction. There's not one that he didn't pay for. If you don't know that you're a child of God and God said that he would supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory, all of your needs, A-L-L, all of your needs according to his riches and glory. If you don't know that you're a child of God and that it says by his stripes that you're healed, if you don't understand that, you don't know that those things belong to you as your inheritance, then you don't push through change to get there. You stay here. It's an enemy of change in your life, stolen identity. If you don't understand that you are more than a conqueror, that you are strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that the joy of the Lord is your strength, that he has made you an overcomer, that he's made you victorious, then you're not going to push through to live like it. It's like somebody living on the streets, in the slums, dirt poor, broken, and discouraged, and not realizing, not even knowing that their name is the name on the deed to this house that's like a block away from them, that's the biggest mansion in the world with all the wealth and riches in the world attached to it, that all they have to do is go and be there because that rightfully belongs to them, but they don't even know that that's their name on the house. And it seems silly because they're a block away from all this and they're choosing to live here, but they don't know that that's their identity. If somebody would just tell them, if somebody would help them see their identity, they could be out of this place and in this amazing place that's rightfully theirs. Amen? But the devil will through many ways. There's lots of teachers in the churches. There's lots of religion. There's lots of mindsets. Other people in your lives growing up may have begun to diminish your identity and not even told you your true identity as a believer. That's why it's important for you to get into the Word of God and see who you truly are. Because if you don't know, you don't push through. And the last one that I want to talk about today, this morning, the last enemy of change is pride. People that are prideful are too proud to admit that they need to grow or change. They're not teachable. They say things like, I already knew that. Somebody sits down to show them things. Inside, they may know that they need to change. But maybe they're just too proud to admit it. Because in order to truly change, sometimes we need other people to help us. But it also takes us to admit that we need some help in order to change, in order to push through. Pride will also, listen to this, pride will also keep you stuck, and you will always wonder why others are changing and growing and being blessed, and you can't seem to get out of the place that you're in. Because you can't bring yourself to admit that you need to change and take the steps to do it. Because in order to take the steps to change means that you are not self-sufficient. You can't do it on your own. But you know what? You weren't created to do it on your own. God didn't design you to be completely self-sufficient. He designed you to be a part of the body of Christ. He designed you even, now listen. The way that he designed this whole thing, he even created the fivefold ministry, which the fivefold ministry are pastors, teachers, prophets, apostles, evangelists, not necessarily in that order, got it out of order, but anyway, I named them all five. But he created them to help appropriate change in your life. He fills the word of God with scriptures like iron sharpens iron. And if any of sick among you, have them call for the elders of the church and come down and be prayed for. You're not going to find anywhere in the Word of God, anywhere in Scripture, where you're going to see that people are supposed to, meant to do this on their own as an island unto themselves. So when pride is there, recognize that it's there, but then also recognize that it's meant to be there. The enemy sends it there. You foster it. You allow it to stay. But the enemy's really good because it's what got him kicked out of heaven, right? He fell into the same trap, so he understands pride quite well. He knows how it works, and he knows how to get it started in our lives. And he puts it there, and so you need to recognize it so that you can push through and begin to push over that to allow change to happen in your life. Amen? God wants change. And you're not going to get to that place. You're not going to see the freedom. You're not going to see the release in your life unless you push through it. And that's what God wants. He wants freedom. He wants you living in the fullness of what he's got. He wants you to be an agent of change too, and you won't be able to be an agent of change fully till you push through that pride. Amen. And break it off of your life. First, you have to repent of it, and then you walk through and get rid of it. You know, that leads me into the third part of our message tonight, or this morning. The third part as we conclude. You know, this whole series, we've been talking about agents of change. We've talked through the very first agent of change that we talked about in the series was the blood of Jesus. And there's no more powerful agent of change in the world. Because by the grace of God, it was sent and it washes away our sin. Because of it, we can have a personal relationship with God. It brings us healing and it brings us the ability to go to heaven. Amen? The second one we talked about the Word of God. And we had an illustration on stage, just this exact one, and how we have to be intentional bringing the Word of God, his way of thinking, into our way of thinking, and replacing his way of thinking, putting faith where there was fear in our life, and putting others where we had selfishness, and putting forgiveness where we chose to hang on to offense, putting healing where we had a mindset of sickness, and putting the eternal mindset where we had a temporal mindset. But that doesn't just happen. That's an agent of change. The Word of God is an agent of change. It has to be very intentionally applied in our lives. You have to renew your mind. You have to get into the Word of God. Amen. And then the third one that we talked about were people are an agent of change. Because you know what? God's got you on a path, going somewhere. We've talked about it through the whole series. But we were talking about who is it that's speaking into your life. Are they a positive influence or a negative influence? You get to choose your team. That was a fun video that we did with the staff. We even saw at the beginning some of it here, that you get to choose the team that's going with you in life. But are you somebody that somebody else wants on their team? The fourth one we talked about was money. And we talked about how money changes other people and it also changes us. And he had this illustration that money turns into things. This was his favorite. It's an espresso machine that he wore out, my fabulous husband. And it's true. A couple espressos a day, you wore this baby out. But his money isn't just money until it turns, you give it an assignment and it turned into this espresso machine, which he was quite happy about because it meant he had coffee every day. So money changes things. You give it an assignment and it changes people's lives. And then it's a seed that changes your life. But then last week we talked about encounters with God. And that was a message that I just got so excited about. I almost came unglued sitting here. I was like, really? This is amazing. And I just, anyway, it was fabulous. If you didn't hear it, you need to go back and hear it because it was powerful. He talked about having encounters with God in the desert, like Moses, in the night season, in the upper room. And he gave several different examples. And there was one that just blessed me, an agent of change, you know, that God uses encounters with him as an agent of change. And he was talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And when they went into that fiery furnace, that was something that was meant to destroy and kill them, pressure, meant to destroy and kill them. The only thing that got destroyed in that fiery furnace were the bonds that were meant to hold them, keep them in bondage, to get them into that fiery furnace to kill them. But that, the only thing that was destroyed, those bonds were destroyed, and they came out stronger and just set free and delivered, and God changed everything. Amen? But you know what's so fun about every single one of those agents of change? Is that it leads me to the final agent of change that we're talking about today. And that every single one of those agents of change that we've talked about can be found in the church, the body of Christ. Think about it. The church is where you're going to hear about the blood of Jesus. The church is where you're going to experience the healing power of Jesus, the salvation arm of God. Then you have the word of God. The church should be the place where the word of God is being preached and where you hear the word of God and it renews your mind. And then you learn how to go and get into the word of God and allow it to renew your mind. And then and the church is also the place where you come into and have ministry like we talked about a few minutes ago, like the fivefold ministry, and you have they're changing your life. They're praying for you, and you meet other believers, and they're being change agents in your life. And it's also an opportunity for you to give your finances, because we're stronger together. We can accomplish far more together for the kingdom of God financially than we do on our own. We pool our resources, and we can see the kingdom of God advanced and help push back, right? It's also a place where you have an opportunity to sow your finances to see a breakthrough in your life. It's not the only place, but it is a place, an opportunity for you to come and just sow seed, to see God work through finances. And it's also a place where you come to encounter God. And how many of you have ever been ministered to? You've encountered God, raising it in church. How many of you have ever had an encounter with God? And keep your hand up if it changed your life. Amen. The church is a powerful change agent. And you have to realize that that's why God says he sets the members in the house. Listen to this. Going to church is not a little deal. It is a life-changing deal. It's not condemnation. I'm telling you, yes, I believe in it. Yes, I'm a pastor. Yes, there's you can say, oh, you're biased. But I also understand my job. My job as a pastor, our jobs as pastor are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. That is what God designed us. If you do not come, if you do not plug yourself into the different ministries of this house, then you are keeping yourself from powerful ministry that will help you fulfill the call of God in your life. Your job is to come. It's to receive from the change agents that are part of this house. But then you have a twofold purpose. The church is twofold. One, you're to plug in, to receive from the ministries of this house, to be equipped for the work of the ministry. But the second thing is you have to realize that the church, yes, is this local body of believers, but it's not this building. The church is you. You are a carrier of every single one of these change agents. They are on the inside of you. The Spirit of God is on the inside of you. You've been personally changed by the blood of Jesus, and you can give that to somebody else. You've been personally changed by the Word of God, and you can speak the Word of God and life into a situation for somebody else. You've been personally changed by people. They've impacted your life, and you can be a change agent as a person to somebody else. You've been personally impacted through finances, and you know what? You can use your finances to be a change agent in the lives of somebody else, and you can teach somebody else how to use their finances to allow God to be a change agent in their life. And then you've encountered God, and you know how to bring an encounter to somebody else, because you have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of every single one of you, which means all it takes is for you to hear one word from God, to go up to a coworker, to go up to them and look at them and say, you know what? How's this? And I feel like the Lord wants me to tell you this. And you speak directly into their situation that brings an encounter to God, and their life will never be the same. And that's a change agent in their life. Amen. You are a change agent. And today as we close, there was two questions I really felt like the Lord wanted me to ask you this morning. Two questions. One, as a change agent, as part of the body of Christ, some of you are plugged in. Some of you are so deeply connected and plugged in, and you've come to church, and that's awesome. But there's change that God wants to do in your lives, and He's spoken to it, and you know it, and you can feel it in your heart. But you need to be intentional about appropriating that change. But He's given you multiple change agents to do it, and the majority of them are seated in this house. So where is it that God wants you to plug in that you're not currently plugged in at, to receive ministry for the equipping of the saints for ministry? You see that? Now, some of you are, so this isn't a guilt and condemnation, but some of us aren't in the room. Some of us just kind of tap our toe in and come just to say we come, And coming on a Sunday morning is powerful. It's good. You're hearing the Word of God. My goodness, if I didn't think that it was relevant, I wouldn't be up here speaking this morning. You know, and so that's good, but some of us, there's change that God wants to do in our lives, and He's putting something in your heart. We have lots of classes, maybe there's connect groups, maybe there's Bible studies. What is it that God is speaking to you about that you need to step into? And the second one is that the first one's for your personal ministry, and the second one is where, as a change agent, does the Lord want you connecting into the church to bring change? Does that make sense?
Amen.
As a carrier of the Word of God, where do you need to plug in for personal growth and help? And where is God asking you to step into to be a part of the church as a change agent? Two questions. Just between you and the Lord. And some of you are way plugged in. You're doing amazing things. So it's not everybody in the room. But our job is just to listen and say, Lord, are you saying something to me? What do you want me to be doing? Would you stand as we close this morning? Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for these amazing believers. Lord, I thank you that they are carriers of the Word of God. They are carriers of the Holy Spirit of God. They are carriers, they can bring change. God, they are amazing change agents for the kingdom of God. Lord, I thank you for every single one of them. Lord, I thank you for the anointing on their lives, the call of God, the favor on their lives. Lord, I pray first and foremost this morning that you would help us to adjust our perspective on life and all the pressure and the things that come at it. God, that you would help us to see in the midst of all that stuff that's screaming at us, to flip it and to begin to rejoice, because we're going to make the right responses. We're going to respond in pressure, God, the way you told us to respond in pressure. Amen. You know, even recently, I was going through some stuff. And it was just rough. And I was on the phone with my mom. And she just simply said, and she doesn't normally say this, and I don't, she probably doesn't even remember that she said it, but she just simply said to Marie, she said, Maria, don't let the devil win. And I didn't want to hear that, because I wanted to just give in to my feelings at that moment. But she was right. I needed to change my perspective. So, Lord, I pray that you help us flip our perspective and to begin to rejoice, because we know that you will work all things out for our good. Yes. And, Lord, if there are people in this room that the devil's attacking with enemies of change, whether it be fear, pride, whatever it is, God, I pray that you help them see it clearly, and then we just rebuke and dismiss every single one of those in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would help them to take the steps to begin to see how the devil's been lying to them and manipulating things to them, and to begin to switch their perspective to your perspective, God, to be able to see it for what it really is, that they will push through for the change on their life. God, if there's people in the room this morning that need to see vision, that need to see their identity, God, I pray that you would help them have that vision and begin to know and understand who they are so they push through to what you've called them to do. And Lord, I just thank you. And we just receive all that you've spoken to us through this entire series, God, that we are agents of change. We're carriers of change. And we know how to change. We won't stop changing. We won't stop growing. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And with every head bowed and eye closed, we always like to give a minute for anybody in this room. If you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, if he's not Lord and Savior of your life, we always want to give you an opportunity to make him the first, the biggest change that you ever need to make is to make him your Lord and Savior. And so we'd like to give you an opportunity. We're not going to call you down to the front, but I'm going to ask you to raise your hand right where you're at. And we'll just pray together for you right there. So if there's anybody in this room, go ahead and raise your hand if you would like to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. We want to give you that opportunity this morning before you go anywhere else. Is there anybody here this morning? Just raise your hand. We want to pray for you. Okay. All right. Church, I'm going to call for our altar workers to come on down front and to be ready to pray. And then I'm going to pray, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to dismiss you. Father, I thank you for these amazing men and women of God. I thank you that as they go out this week, they're blessed, they're prospered. God, that your favor surrounds them as a shield. God, you go before them, you make every crooked path straight. God, that you speak clearly to them, your sheep know know your voice, Father, so they know and they understand and they hear your word clearly. So, Father, I thank you that they're confident in who they are, God, and you help them to see through your perspective in life, God, and so that they are overcomers and they're victorious. I bless them to go and to be a blessing in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Our altar workers are down here. If you'd like to come, they're here to pray for you for whatever it is that you might need prayer for. God bless.